Hello, I'm Marcus Alton from the tribute website brianclough.com, and my next guest on The Green Jumper is a former striker who Cloughy said had as big a head as he did.
He saw a confident player that he wanted to keep his feet on the floor, and being a young lad at 18, 19, 20 years of age, you know, looking back, he was right.
Nigel Jemson was just 18 when he turned down the prospect of playing for Alex Ferguson at Manchester United and joined Brian Clough instead.
There was a phone call, which obviously I went to answer, and I thought it was a wind-up, but Brian Clough rang me. I think they got an away game in London somewhere. I think it might be QPR, I think. And obviously, he came on the phone saying, is that Nigel? Yes, this is Brian Clough here. Yeah, I believe you want to come and sign for me. And I said, well, yes. Obviously, hesitant because I didn't know whether it was him or whether it was one of the players having a prank with me. But I said, yeah, I'd love to. He said, great. I'll see you at the City Ground tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Don't be late. And then put the phone down. But yeah, so I went down and, got in front of the main man. And obviously, then I obviously went on to sign.
Cloughy once said that you had as big a head as him. Obviously, you're a confident striker, which you've got to be. What made him say that?
I don't know whether it was something he saw in me. But I think as a striker, you've got to be confident. And, the bigger the crowd, the better I felt. I was one of those that was very fortunate. I never got nervous before games. You know, I wanted to go out there and do my best. And he filled me with confidence, you know what I mean? What player can't have confidence, you know, knowing the fact that Brian Clough's picking you? So undoubtedly he thinks you're a good player, and then going in front of all those amazing fans at the City Ground, you know, it was just something that, you know, I thrived on.
And he was a centre forward when he played. Did he give you any bits of advice on how to play the role?
Absolutely not. He just let you get on with it, and right. Obviously if you did something wrong, he'd put you in your place, but he just let you go out there and play. The game has changed so much now to how it is nowadays, where you've got the sports scientists in, you've got people who do free kicks. Yeah, everything was really off the cuff with us. You know, we went down to the train, walked down there, had a bit of a warm, a few sprints, five aside, and we walked back. You know, it was ridiculous, really, if you look back at it now, how it's changed. But no, it's like I said, you knew when you'd done something wrong, he'd tell you. Otherwise, if he didn't say anything to you, you're doing all right.
We also talk about that winning goal which secured Cloughy's fourth League Cup final victory at Wembley.
We just treated it really just as a normal league game. We did our usual thing. We trained in the morning. We went home. Went to Antonio's for our pre-match meal, which was, probably soup or prawn cocktail, and then it was, a fillet steak with lots of chips, and then possibly a dessert if you wanted it. And then, you got back on the coach, and there was crisps, there was chocolate, there's Coke, and everything else there you could eat. And you got to the normal, I think it was South Mimms Hotel that we usually went to for London games. And so it was pretty much, stay the same, really. And then obviously got to Wembley. We did get there a little bit early to soak up the atmosphere and everything like that, and going down the old Wembley way and everything like that. It was brilliant. And seeing all the red shirts there and... I was 20 years of age then, to play in a major final at 20. On a selfish note, to score the only goal was a perfect scoreline for myself. One where, again, I was a confident striker. I put £50 on myself to score the first goal, 8-1. So that was nice. But most importantly, for the club to win back-to-back League Cups was an incredible achievement, not only by the manager but by the football club. I'm still actually the last score of a winning goal in a major final for Nottingham Forest, which is great, but I'd love someone else to take over that mantle, because it means that we're winning trophies again, which for myself will be the ideal scenario.
And And you were in the match day programme for that final. I've got a copy here. And amongst all the Nottingham Forest player profiles, there's a whole page with you, with your picture on it. Do you think it was written in the stars?
I was supposed to get my big head on it, wasn't it? A page like that. But no, I don't know. Like I said, you know, a young lad that come into the team, scoring goals. So, you know, it's I think it's a perk of being a striker, I think. But I'm surprised you managed to get hold of a programme because I thought I took all of them. I thought my mum and dad had bought that many. Yeah, just a wonderful day for my family as well.
Our conversation was recorded in the impressive setting of Welbeck Hall near Forest City Ground. It's a venue which has become a favourite for the former Red striker.
Yes, it's my friend I've known virtually, you know, for the early-ish years of when I came to Nottingham Forest, so 36 years ago now. We became good friends and stayed friends ever since, and he's taken over, you know, the catering side and the event side here. I mean, it's a fantastic building, one where I'm actually living as well now. And so, you know, we do Sunday dinners, and, you know, people see me on a Sunday, you know, serving and helping out, which is great. And I'm also doing a night with myself with Big Norm Mockcrossy on the 11th of April. Yeah, it's a great venue, and you know, probably holds about 100 people, and very intimate. And you know, I'm very happy here. And again, you know, working for Nottingham Forest on match days, it's literally 5 minutes walk down the Trent, and it's the most wonderful walk ever.
It's a great chat with Nigel. It's one I know you're going to enjoy. We even look back to an article from over 30 years ago when the young centre forward was asked if he had any superstitions.
Oh, I was terrible as a footballer. I had quite a few. You know, anything to be 13 was a no-go. I couldn't walk under any ladders. Just the usual things, really. Mm. You know, I couldn't cut my toenails on a Friday. What else did I used to do? I used to have to put my right boot on before my left, yep. Right shin pad on before my left shin pad. As a warm-up, I used to, you know, wear a T-shirt and then put my match shirt on as I was walking out. I probably had to be third in line when I was coming out.
Yeah, that's your answer in this feature.
It's amazing how footballers, you know, superstitions, and it's something, you know, I still have, to be honest, and in certain things.
Plus, there's the time he overruled Captain Stuart Pearce.
We got a penalty. I think it was about 5 minutes before half time, and everyone knows that Nigel should have taken it. And I don't know what came on of me, but I just grabbed the ball, and Pearce, he said to me, he used to call me Henry. He said, "Henry, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking the penalty." He went, "No, you're not. Give it to Nigel." I went, "No, I'm having it." He went, "You better score." So I took the penalty and obviously scored. And we went in at half-time 1-1. But I do believe probably if I'd have gone on and missed that penalty, I don't think I'd have come out for the second half.
That's just a taster of this entertaining chat with Nigel Jemson, which is coming soon. In the meantime, look out for the Green Jumper Roadshow, with lots of Cloughy stories in a series of live events. There are more details on brianclough.com, where you can also buy signed copies of my latest book, Brian Clough, The Lost Tapes, and that's supporting some good causes too. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join me next time for more memories of the great man in the green jumper.